Welcome to a Tech Moment on Cannabis Tech. I'm your host, Christina Etter. In this podcast, we take a few minutes to talk about some of the exciting science and technology that's shaping and changing the cannabis and hemp industries. And you know, one of the topics that I love to talk about, even though I might have a little bit of an unpopular opinion, is Delta 8, because you know what? It is absolutely taking the market over in some of the non-legal states. And with the recent news coming out of the federal appeals court, obviously this is a super hot topic. I'm super excited to welcome to the show today Chase Terwilliger, who is the CEO of Balanced Health Botanicals and the parent company to CBD Distillery. And this is absolutely the topic that we're going to talk about today. So Chase, thanks so much for taking some time out and coming onto the show.
Thanks, Christina. I'm excited to be here.
So like I do with most of my guests, the first thing that I'm going to ask you to do is really just kind of give us your background. Talk to us a little bit about how you became the CEO of Balanced Health Botanicals and what led you here.
Yeah, happy to do so. So I think unlike a lot of people in the cannabis industry right now, I have a little bit different background. I came out of healthcare, so was on the medical device side coming out of college. Actually went to University of Colorado, then I had my first stint in healthcare in Chicago, and then moved back to Colorado and helped start a medical device distributorship here in Colorado, in part of Wyoming, part of Nebraska. That was then sold to Johnson & Johnson, and got out of healthcare and got into technology, where I was really looking to join a group that was going to change, you know, potentially people's lives, something that I was passionate about. And I found somebody right away. It was a group called Silver Nest. They had one person at the time, so I was technically the first employee. And Silver Nest was based in Boulder, Colorado, and was a roommate matching platform for baby boomers and empty nesters. So really what we was trying to solve is the affordable housing crisis and allowing them to rent out a room in their home for a long term. And we kind of used the match.com, you know, algorithms behind the scene. Partway through that, we were funded by a group out in San Francisco, Accelerator, and so they bring their top 50 companies all under one roof, and you just learn a tremendous amount. And I had the healthcare background, I was starting to get the tech background, but really got a taste of performance marketing and how to build a brand. Coming out of that, it was only a couple weeks before a family member came to me and said they made a small investment in this little CBD company, and I had zero idea what CBD was. And even though I went to Boulder, I was never a cannabis user. A Colorado resident, again, not a cannabis user. And so I said, okay, what's this CBD? Is it snake oil? What's going on? And so they had a really good foundation where they had extraction, and they had some founders that really knew the product well. They've been lifetime cannabis people, but they needed somebody kind of to come in on the business side of things and take a look at everything and just put the right pieces in place and let the team really concentrate on building the best products out there. So I said, okay, fine, I'll come in for a month, 2 months, like we'll get this figured out. Did that, things started to take off, and the testimonials started coming in. And it was changing people's lives. And I'm like, oh my gosh. So I dusted off the old physiology books. I was a physiology major in college, started looking into the endocannabinoid system, and everything just started kind of matching up. And so then I started using it myself, and I said, oh, this is incredible. And so we went full bore in at that point in time and left the healthcare and technology careers behind. And this, I really felt, combined both of those. And then at the same time accomplished what I wanted to, you know, change the world and increase the quality of people's lives. And so I'm very grateful for being in the position I am with the company that I'm in.
Definitely. Definitely. And, you know, I feel like that's what cannabis really does for a lot of us, especially those of us that kind of grew up in areas or in lives where we weren't necessarily exposed to cannabis, the, you know, on a regular basis, and we may not have known some of these details and some of the science that we're starting to see now. And that's what's so fascinating for me, is that it's the science really that's able to grab a hold of people's attention and help them see this herb from a different perspective. And you're right, those testimonials are, you know, they hook you.
Exactly. And there's more and more science coming out. As you know, that's one of the challenges that we face every single day in this cannabis industry, is since it's, you know, CBD is federally legal, but we still need regulatory guidance from the FDA. You know, a lot of our studies that we want to do with universities or big institutions, we can't do right now because it won't get through the IRB because we still are waiting on FDA regulations. Same thing with marijuana, right? It's so hard to test this stuff right now and get the right science out there for the people to really grasp onto and understand what it's doing for individuals on a molecular and biological level.
Most definitely. And so you touched on a couple of topics there that I think makes a great segue into what we want to talk about today. And that is, you know, federal legalization. Obviously, the news here on Delta 8 recently with the appellate court saying that Delta 8 from hemp is a legal substance, and that if it's not, then it needs to go back to Congress, and Congress needs to decide, you know, how they're going to regulate this. And essentially, I mean, when we look at it from that perspective, this decision, you know, kind of legalizes THC in most forms from the plant. You know, just having this decision out there on Delta 8, as we know, that's just one of the THCs that's being produced in cannabis and hemp. And so it's very interesting to kind of see this evolution, I want to say, take place in Delta 8. And I'm very anxious to kind of hear your perspective. I mean, because we have the Senate Bill 205 here in Colorado, and then we have this decision with the appellate court. So I'd love to hear your perspective and your thoughts on what's going on right now with the legality of Delta 8.
Yeah, so as far as Delta 8 goes, everybody's pretty aware. It started to gain popularity in kind of the summer of 2020. So we've had a couple of years under our belt. You've seen a lot of states come in and either try and regulate it or ban it completely. You mentioned, you know, a hearing just from last week. Is it on a federal level legal? Everything that we're seeing is, yes, it's absolutely legal. It falls within the definition within the 2018 Farm Bill. And so it's federally compliant. From a Colorado standpoint, I think there are issues, and to be frank, we've never come out with a Delta 8 product because of it's synthetically derived, right? It's found in the plant at very, very small levels, but it's converted. They convert CBD through a chemical process to Delta 8, and so we try and do everything all natural at CB Distillery. But from a Colorado standpoint, it's something that's intoxicating and blatantly intoxicating and being marketed to be intoxicating. We have a system in Colorado already with the Marijuana Enforcement Division that regulates the intoxicating products. And then where I think, you know, the big poke in the side to not only Colorado, but everybody, is these Delta 8 products are completely unregulated. And it seems like, and I can't speak for everybody here, I'm sure there's a handful of companies that are doing it the right way and putting it through the right testing protocols, have done the right safety studies, but I haven't seen that yet. And so what you're getting is in these lab results, you know, especially with a synthetic conversion, you're getting all these different, when you run it through chromatography, you're getting all these different variants of Delta 8, which nobody quite understands yet. So I personally feel like there needs to be, if Delta 8 is legal in the future, right, There needs to be some type of regulation and testing around the process, and some more defined guardrails around marketing it as well.
Precisely. I cannot agree more. We just did a podcast last week with Chris Hudala from ProVerde, and he was saying those same things. In all of the samples that they've tested of Delta 8 products at ProVerde, they have yet to find one that didn't have some level of contamination in it. And there are so many stories now of, you know, there's producers out there that are using vitamin E acetate in the vape cartridges, and we know that that's not ethical. That's not safe. It's not good for people's lungs. And so you're right. Legality isn't so much the concern. It's the regulation around how it's being produced and making sure that these products are safe. And I was so thrilled to see that there's still companies that believe in that natural approach, because for me, I kind of feel like Delta 8 is taking the cannabis space back into the pharmaceutical industry with these man-made chemical conversions of a natural substance. And you know, that just screams pharmaceutical to me, which is the exact opposite of what the cannabis industry set out to do in the first place.
Well, let's put it this way. Would Delta 8 ever be around if marijuana was legal, federally legal? No, in my opinion, it would not be, because it's a loophole to try and get, you know, through the current laws and make a few bucks, which I get. We're America. People do that all the time. But where there's the concern is that, just what you said, and Chris's lab, ProVerde, is obviously one of the top-notch labs. We've talked to all of our labs about this, and they're seeing the exact same thing. So when we looked at it, because we have a fiduciary responsibility for our shareholders to look at every real opportunity coming through the door, what we've done in the past is we've done self-affirmed grass. So we actually take our products, full spectrum, isolate, broad spectrum products, and we do self-affirmed grass, which is generally recognized as safe. It goes through, we do a bunch of toxicology studies, and then we send it to an independent board of toxicologists to say, hey, is this safe or not? I mean, we were embarrassed to even submit something on Delta 8, because when we started looking at the tests, they were just all over the place. And so that's where we throttled back on top of the all natural. Because at the time we're like, okay, well, maybe we can find a way to get it naturally, or you know, biological conversion or something like that. I think those are all off the table right now. But even just looking at it, you know, it's just a decision we weren't going to go, because we couldn't get that safety profile down where we're comfortable sending that out.
You know, and I think for most people, that's how they imagine all companies being. I think for most consumers, they imagine that most companies are taking the steps that you're taking to ensure that the products that they have are safe. And unfortunately, those of us in the industry know that that's not happening in hemp because of the lack of regulation, because manufacturers don't have to, you know. And so it becomes one of those things of bottom line profits. And if they can get by with it, they will. And like you said, these are being marketed in ways that are not open and clear. They're not being, you know, completely honest about how these products are being derived and how they're being produced. And so that becomes a concern then, I think, when consumers really are kind of playing Russian roulette with not knowing which company is doing it the right way and which companies aren't. And all of these products are on the shelves. I have heard so many consumers, like you mentioned just a second ago, if it weren't for the fact that cannabis was illegal in their state, they wouldn't even think about the Delta 8 products. But because the Delta 8 products are there and they're marketed as legal and they're marketed as safe, they're okay with it. And that, I think, is kind of the eye opener for me, that I feel like we need to be talking about these products more. And it's not about, I guess for me anyway, it's not about being intoxicating. We've been dealing with intoxicating substances in the market for decades, for years. It's about how they're being produced and whether or not one of those unknown chemicals that is showing up in these chromatograms could be the starting point for some disease that they might develop in another 10 years.
Absolutely. Couldn't agree more there.
So tell me what needs to happen. Obviously, we know, or the argument is that we don't want to over-regulate the industry. We don't want to make it difficult for people to participate in the industry. But at the same time, like you said, we have a responsibility to the consumer to ensure that the products that they are consuming are safe. So where is that fine line?
Well, I think we just have to regulate. I know it sounds, you know, regulation's always a bad word, but the regulation that we're asking for is nothing more than a regular dietary supplement. You know, good manufacturing processes, making sure that if there, God forbid, there was a recall, you know exactly where that product went, that your facilities are clean. I've seen some of these other facilities. Is there anything but that? And again, there may be some good players, so I don't want to, you know, cast out the whole industry there. But from my experience, regulation is needed. You know, we're needed on the hemp and CBD side as well. You know, Colorado put in protocols that you have to be CGMP, you have to do all these things, which was great. This was, I think, last year, July 1st. But there's been no enforcement. So that's part of this new Senate bill that went through, is that now the AG finally has a budget to enforce some of these things. Now they'll probably go after the Delta 8, some other things first, the bigger safety concerns, but then eventually they'll get to the companies that are doing it, you know, that are cutting corners on the quality and safety side. And one other thing I just wanted to mention there that you mentioned before was, I believe you said consumers don't know, you know, who to trust. And that's another issue with regulation, because right now, most of the sales are coming from online sales. I mean, over 80% of our sales are online. They can come to our website and, you know, we show that we've sold to millions and millions of people, we're accredited here and there. But like you said, most consumers just assume that. And honestly, before this job, I just kind of assumed it as well. But with that, the consumer has little area to figure out which one is trustworthy or not. It's going to be regulation, and then it's sitting on, you know, the Kroger shelves, you know, ingestibles. You know, right now they do topicals, but sitting on the shelves for the consumer to recognize that credible, reliable, trustworthy product and brand.
Right, and that's actually a phenomenal point to make. Is that if we really do want to see CBD and other cannabinoids available on the shelves of, say, a CVS or a Walgreens or Kroger, you know, whoever we want to sell those products, there are certain safety standards that those companies are going to require of any product that they put on their shelves, because there's a certain amount of liability that's going to transfer to the to them as well. And so they don't want to take that risk. And so I think, you know, it's that regulation, it's that standardized testing, it's being able to have some way to confirm that what you're putting in this product is safe and isn't going to, you know, obviously the tobacco industry and Monsanto have proven to us that, you know, it's not immediate exposure that matters, it's long-term exposure over time that ends up causing the problem. And when you have people that are taking these things as a health supplement or as a recreational supplement or something that they're using on a regular basis, you stand that risk. And so again, we come back to that question of, you know, it's not so much about the legality, it's about how they're being produced and whether or not consumers can feel safe consuming them.
Yep, agreed. And you asked kind of what I see for Delta 8 regulation moving forward. I think eventually if companies can prove that it is safe, there may be a spot for it within dispensaries. You know, again, I'm not out here to say, you know, never, and that there's not benefits potentially to Delta 8, but like you said, we just need to prove that it's safe first, because it's unlike cannabis. I mean, cannabis has been around for tens of thousands of years and people have been consuming it. And so we know, you know, that it's generally safe. Delta 8, we have no idea.
So tell me a little bit more about Balanced Health Botanicals and CBD Distillery. I know that you're not getting into these products because you're trying to keep things a little more natural to the plant. So talk to me a little bit about your product line and what kinds of things do you do with your products to ensure that the customers are getting the safety standards that you talked about earlier?
Yeah, CB Distillery is one of the top CBD and hemp brands in the world. The way that we got there was very, very simple: trust and transparency. We were the first ones to put out third-party test results, which is now a gold standard, first ones to do QR codes that link to our test results. And we got a really, really strong following because of that. And through that, you know, as far as products go, it's been all about the customer. We just listen to our customer. Like I said, 80% of our sales are online, so we get immediate feedback. What do people want? What do they want us to put in the product pipeline? What do they want us to run studies on? Safety studies as well as clinical studies. And so we have a very diverse product portfolio. Sometimes it is a little overwhelming to the new consumer. That's something we're working on because we have so many. You know, we have obviously the classics, CBD, but we have it in full spectrum, broad spectrum, isolate, and then we have CBG, CBN products, CBDA, CBD with functional mushrooms, CBD with kava, kind of all over the place there. As well as a topical line. So we kind of have everything for everyone right now. And then what we've just released last week, going to kind of our mission as Balanced Health Botanicals, is to provide an alternative path to a healthy and balanced life. And looking at that, we have been just chomping at the bit to get into THC. Now we have little or trace amounts of THC in our full spectrum products, obviously, but we came out with a gummy that has 5 milligrams of hemp derived THC, so it's still farm bill compliant, has 25 milligrams of CBD, and then we've been able to leave the terpene profile in there, which I'm most excited about. So you get kind of the ultimate relaxation and buzz, but it's not like taking a 5 milligram THC edible. It's a different experience. So we're super excited about that product. We look at it it's called Unwind Synergy Plus. We're looking at it really after, something we haven't been able to provide to our customers yet, which is after work, after a long day, how do you relax and have a healthier alternative to relax? And this product really solves that. It also helps us put down the train tracks or help, start to put down the train tracks for higher THC products here in the US. We are owned by a large public company that has a very large cannabis operation in Canada, one of the top LPs there, as well as a massive produce business actually here in the States. So, when you go to the grocery store, you find their tomatoes and cucumbers and peppers, but they have really big greenhouses, Hint, hint, nudge, nudge, what will happen with federal regulation. So we're really excited about THC and higher strength THC in the future, but right now this is kind of our first step, and we're really excited about this new Unwind Synergy Plus.
So I am so excited that you brought that up because, for me, I feel like this is the answer. When we start to allow those THC products, allow that THC from hemp to be, concentrated and put into products like this, that to me is the answer to Delta 8, because it really is that natural derived cannabinoid that is legal according to the statutes, and there's a way to utilize it. And I feel like more and more companies, I just had a conversation, I want to say a couple weeks ago, with Cornbread Hemp. They're also doing, Delta 9 THC things. A local company here in Manitou Springs that's famous for their candies, Patsy's Candies, they're starting to do some Delta 9 THC caramels and chocolates, So I'm loving to see how the hemp industry has started to embrace that and started to use that natural cannabinoid and find those loopholes that direction, I just feel like that's a better answer than using chemicals to convert a natural substance into something that we don't know. And so I'm thrilled to hear that you guys are starting to lay that groundwork to get into that side of the market, because I really feel like that's where the answer's at.
Yeah, and I'd 100% agree with you. You even see yesterday, and it hasn't been signed by Governor Waltz, I believe is his name, in Minnesota, but Minnesota just passed the House and Senate that they're going to allow up to 5 milligrams of hemp-derived THC per serving in hemp products. Now, you know, the legality behind everything, like you said, on a federal level, there's no issues with that 5 milligrams in the products that we're selling, or we wouldn't be selling it because we're publicly listed. But what you're getting is states like Oregon and Colorado, and I'm not opposed to this, just want to say, but what's going on is that Oregon is putting in a limit and trying to figure out what's intoxicating, what's not, what should be pushed to dispensaries, what should be pushed, you know, to regular, you know, modes of distribution, and they were successful at doing that, and I believe they put a 2.5 milligram cap. Then you have Colorado, which the part of this bill, other than appropriating some money and budget to the AG to go after the bad actors, there's a task force that's being put in place to evaluate what that limit should be, what should be sent to dispensaries, what should companies like CB Distillery be able to sell to the consumer. And so in mature cannabis markets, you're seeing that kind of division. Then, and I don't disagree with it. You know, here in Colorado, sending higher THC to dispensaries, you know, they've put in the time, they've made the investments. They have a great system with the Marijuana Enforcement Division here that makes sure they have the highest quality products. That all makes sense. I want to be allowed to sell our gummies if we go through the appropriate channels to dispensaries. But as long as the consumer can get it, that's fine. And I don't think they're going to choose Delta 8 over a natural THC product. But then you have states like Minnesota and states that are less mature. They only have a medical program in Minnesota. That are saying, hey, we don't, you know, and we want to make sure that these customers have access to this plant, and it's federally legal, so let's put in a system. And so that was really, really encouraging news yesterday. I'm still digesting it a bit, to be honest, and where it starts to plant, you know, how it affects the 2023 Farm Bill or any changes in hemp in the future. But it was really exciting to see exactly what you're saying, just their understanding of how impactful this plant can be to people's lives, and wants to make sure that they get the right products to the right people.
Right. And, you know, I'll tell you what it kind of reminds me of when you're talking about this change in Minnesota. And it was this way when we first came out to Colorado here as well. You know, you could only buy at one point in time, you could only buy 3.2% beer in the grocery store. They didn't allow any of those higher potency alcohols in the grocery stores. You had to go to a liquor store to purchase them. You know, so I think we kind of look at it the same perspective. I think these are things that we're going to see evolve over time, but you're right. It's good to see these steps at least starting to take place and starting to move things forward. And, you know, speaking of Minnesota, they're also in August, they're going to start allowing edibles in their medical program, which they haven't done up until now either. And I just have to say, as I mentioned before we started recording, we went back to Minnesota last week, and we have so many friends that have benefited in amazing ways from Minnesota's medical marijuana program. We were absolutely thrilled to see them finally be able to start to experience some of the benefits that my husband and I did when we moved out here to Colorado in the first place. So, you know, for us, it was really fun to see that change. And now with this change and hoping that, you know, it's starting to become a little more normalized. You know, THC isn't the big bad wolf that we were led to believe so many years ago. And I think minds are finally starting to open that that it does have more benefit outside of just getting high or that social aspect. There's a lot of benefits to these products, and people really are benefiting. So it's fun to see.
Yeah, and just, you know, I'm a Minnesota native too, so I was really excited to see that news yesterday and had a little celebratory gummy last night. And you speak of that aha moment. That was mine, you know, going back to my personal story was, you know, like most people, I used to come home and have a drink or two after work. I'd sleep like garbage because now we all have sleep trackers and you'd see how impactful it was. And then I'd wake up in the morning, not want to work out. And I've lost 15 pounds since I've started this job just by, you know, trading out cannabis for alcohol. And now there's a time and place where I'll have a beer or two, but it's just crazy how much better of a life that I've had. And, you know, people in Minnesota, they've wanted that. The people I've talked to, they've wanted it. Now we can finally get them that product. And so I, you know, the first text that I sent out before even the email came out that we released this product were to my friends and family in Minnesota, letting them know, because they've seen, you know, how it's transformed my life, and they're just excited to, you know, to improve their quality of life from it.
Most definitely. And when we're off camera, I'll tell you our story too. But, you know, Chase, I appreciate you so much coming on the show today and talking about this. I feel like these are the conversations that we need to have in order for not only the consumer really to be more aware of what's out there in the market, but to kind of educate the industry on where the hesitation is and why we feel like, you know, it's not that we're against the Delta 8. We're concerned about the way that it's being produced and the lack of regulation. We want to see good ethical companies doing things the right way. And so I appreciate you taking a minute of your time coming onto the show and giving us your perspective and talking about your company there at CBD Distillery. And we're anxious to, you know, kind of follow along and see what new comes from your company.
Thanks, Christina. I really enjoyed the conversation.